The passage we had read this morning is one of my favourite passages, and it's really famous. I'm sure most of you know it well, and if asked, you could write that out from memory. But it's also one of the worst passages for me, because I know I don't always follow the advice in it, and I find myself constantly worrying about all sorts of things, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. The word worry actually comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. And yes, we do have to be aware of life's concerns, but constantly worrying about them can literally choke us and take the joy out of life. I was thinking of an analogy of this. Imagine you're in a beautiful garden, lots of plants to look at, but you start choking. Somebody says to you, "Oh, look over there at that beautiful clematis. Look at the colour of those roses." But if you're choking at that moment, that's all you can think about, all you can focus on. You don't notice anything else around you. While you're choking, nothing else matters. As you're choking, that just dominates everything. But once the obstruction has gone, then you can enjoy your surroundings. But until then, your choking obviously dominates everything you're thinking about. I think worry can overwhelm and choke us in the same way. It can be very destructive. It can dominate our thoughts so much that we don't notice what God's already done for us. And we don't hear what his plans are for us because we're weighed down and literally choking with worry. Now, we all have worries in our lives, and we have, I'm sure, at some point. It's a very human reaction to our problems. Now, we know it's pointless, but we still just can't seem to help doing it. I have three boys, and anyone here who's a parent, you will know about worry. Now, my eldest son, he lives in London in Bethnal Green, and I can't help worrying that he's in London, which is quite a dangerous place. But I do often pray for his protection, and I pray for his safety. Now, he recently did just a quick visit up here, and I was chatting to him, and he told me he was at a cash point recently, very late at night, and he pressed the button for £10, and this hand appeared from nowhere behind him and pressed 200, and then tried to get the card out of the machine. But he managed to get his card, and they didn't get any money, and he got away safely. As you can imagine, I wasn't too happy hearing that. Thinking about it later, he was protected. He was kept safe. I think my prayers did help. He did later tell me that as a student working in London, they wouldn't have got £200 because he didn't have £200 in his account. And he didn't seem too worried, but obviously that wasn't. I have since told him that if you're going to go to a cash point, maybe very late at night, past midnight, in a dark street in London is not the best place to go. So worry can be a destruction to what God wants for us. All we can think about is whatever that worry is, because it really does interfere with everything else. I once heard a great quote about worry, and this has stayed with me ever since. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is worry. Just think about that for a moment. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is worry. I hope this morning to help us all be equipped for what we do when worry strikes, as we know it will. Many of you this morning will have arrived here today with perhaps a particular worry on your mind. Some of you here today are probably already worrying about tomorrow. But what do we do with this very human problem? And the passage we heard this morning just reminds us how futile worry is. It won't make us live, it says, any longer or grow taller. In verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And we know it won't make any difference to our height. It won't make us an inch taller. Now, I have three boys, and they're about 18 months apart. And when my middle son, Fergus, who sometimes plays the drums here, he must have been 9 or 10, his younger brother, who was about 2 years younger than him, caught up with him in height and then overtook him in height. And he was very cross about this because your younger brother is not allowed to be taller than you. So what he thought he would do is he started eating extra Weetabix because he thought that that would make him taller. And he discovered this just didn't work, and his brother remained taller than him. In fact, if you're wondering what the outcome was, that youngest is now 21 and he still towers over Fergus. He towers over his elder brother, and he towers over Colin, which he's very pleased about. Colin's only 6'4", but this one towers above him. So you can eat all the Weetabix you like, and it won't make you any taller. Worry, we know, doesn't improve anything. In fact, it can make a lot of things worse. Now, I was looking, and I found a couple of interesting quotes about worry, which we're going to have the first one on the screen now. You may remember who Corrie ten Boom is. Worry doesn't empty itself of sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. I think we can all agree with that. Worry by nature is the product of a lack of faith and trust in God. I found another analogy. You know this sign. Hopefully you don't see that in Dumfries too often. It's beware of falling rocks. And I thought this would be a good illustration. So imagine you're just about to drive on a narrow mountain road and you see that sign. What is your reaction going to be? Maybe you're going to now drive very, very cautiously, but you're going to be worried all the time in case a rock does fall, especially if you've got a new car. Now, the speed you drive is going to have no influence whatsoever on whether a rock's going to fall. Neither is the state of your tyres or even how good a driver you are. You could be in a Rolls Royce or a Robin Reliant, and it will make no difference to whether the rocks will come. Worrying is not going to stop the rocks falling down. You worrying will have no effect on those rocks whatsoever, but worrying will have a huge effect on you, the driver. It is a very destructive thing, worrying. We just can't help ourselves, can we, with worrying? And it does show our lack of faith and trust in God. Now, we are going to have troubles in our lives. Rocks will fall. There's nothing we can do about that. Often, those rocks fall at the least, when least expected. I know I can testify to that. And that's when your faith is tested to the utmost. And you really have to put your faith and trust in God at that moment. But do remember, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. We don't have to deal with our troubles alone. Looking at this passage, it's obvious Jesus would have seen the effect of worry on people around him and the disciples. It was obviously a problem for the people then, as it still is for us. And I find that reassuring, that worry was obviously a problem all those thousands of years ago. It's still a problem for us today. If you look this up, you'll see there's a lot of medical evidence that worry can actually cause physical problems. It can make us grumpy and moody. If you've lived with anyone who has a worry, I'm sure you can testify that maybe they're on a shorter fuse than normal. It makes us very angry with those closest to us, and it can make us grumpy at work. It's a very difficult thing to deal with on your own. So what should we do? I think we need to seek God when worry strikes. Speak to God and be honest about the problem and how it is taking over from everything else, how it is choking you. Something I like to do is to go for a walk. I'm very lucky. On my doorstep, literally, I'm in the most beautiful countryside. But we're here, we're not too far from somewhere beautiful. Go for a walk somewhere isolated and quiet. Leave your phone behind. Just have a conversation with God, be alone with God. There's a famous quote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Now, I have found when worry is choking me and overwhelming me, I do try and pray, and I acknowledge that I need God in my life more than the solution to whatever is worrying me. Because in verse 33 it says, seek first the kingdom of God. So whatever your problem is has to be secondary to your relationship at the moment with God. Seek that first. So your relationship with God must be more important than the problem. Now maybe that problem is prompting you to pray more than you would normally. Maybe whatever you're worrying about is making you open your Bible more than you normally would. Tell God that yes, you have a problem, but he and your relationship with him is more important than that problem. Now, our instinct is to say to God, just solve this problem, please. Just take it away. But that really shouldn't be our priority. Our relationship with him is our main priority. If you acknowledge that and then pray honestly about your problem, You will find that helps. Just tell God you need help, you can't manage this on your own. Also, focus on your blessings and everything good God's already done for you. You will start to find the anxiety will be lifted, even though the problem hasn't gone away. You will be able to deal with it better. So as soon as you start to feel yourself really worrying about a situation, use that as a prompt. That is your prompt to start praying before that worry chokes you. Use the worry as a prompt to read the passages in the Bible about worry. You might find it helpful to write them on a little card so you've always got them with you. Have those verses ready for when worry and anxiety strikes. And when you can't sleep for worry, have those verses close to hand. Because at 2 a.m, you may not find you can look for your Bible and start looking up verses, but have them ready. You could even take that little card to work with you, because we know worry can strike anywhere. I'm just going to read a few suggestions of verses you may find helpful. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And then I was looking for some other suggestions, which we're just going to show on the screen now. Now, you will know of many other verses, and I'd be actually interested what verses you find works for you. Perhaps for your homework, you could, because you haven't had to do any fill-ins, you could look up some verses and let me know what you've done. And I was thinking maybe we could make a list and maybe put them in the magazine, verses we found helpful about worry. When you pray, just be really honest. The answer will come, but in His time. And we often know it's not in the way or the time that we want. So the message I'm really trying to get across today is that when worry strikes, focus on God first. Pray about your situation and turn to the Bible about what it says about worry. And when worry strikes, use that as a prompt to pray and read those passages again. Renew your trust in those passages. Just arm yourself with those passages and trust God to deal with your problems. Now, I read somewhere that apparently 70% of what we all worry about will never happen. That's encouraging. However, if you're a pessimist, you're probably already worrying about the remaining 30%. Today's passage is reminding us to trust God, whatever the circumstances may be, to focus on God and what He's already done, rather than worry. Especially at the end, verses 33 and 34, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Now, we know there will be difficult days. Rocks are going to fall. But God will get us through if we can focus on one day at a time. We often worry about tomorrow, adding to anxieties of today, and that which can be overwhelming and really draining. So don't overwhelm yourself with tomorrow's worries. It will be a huge weight to have to carry on top of today. So to finish and to repeat myself, but I feel this is very important, be on guard against worry. It will strike at any time. Be ready for it. Arm yourself with those verses and use it as a prompt to pray. As soon as you find yourself worrying, just find somewhere to pray. Don't let the worry distract you away from praying. In fact, let it do the opposite. Pray more than you normally would. Hand your problem over to God. Be patient, but you will get relief from your anxiety. You may find it helps to pray with other people and be encouraged. Ask some people who you trust to pray for your situation and pray with you so you can focus again on God rather than the problem. And don't let worry stop you doing what God intends you to do. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Trust God, for He cares for you. Amen.